Thank you, Brother James. Ain't it good to be in God's house?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Should have been louder than that after all these cold days that you've not been able to be here for the last few weeks. Aren't you glad to be in God's house?
Amen.
Aren't you glad for a little bit of warm weather?
Yeah.
Mm. I tell you what, that shows you how powerful God is. I know we can all complain about the weather and everything, but the thing of it is it shows God's power, because one day we can be at 5 below zero and the next day we be at 55 above zero. And man can't do that. It is a great joy and an honor to be back here with you today and be able to be here to worship the Lord with you and serve the Lord with you and maybe just preach for a few minutes. And we maybe we'll just talk for just a minute. It's been a great year of last year. And Brother Victor, we want to definitely pray for your pastor, Brother Victor. And when he called me, and he's not feeling well, and he did not even realize this. And the thing of it is, I got to looking back, and this is the year that would have been 30 years ago that you called me and had me come and pastor here for a little while with the church. This would have been the 30th year in 1989 while we came here and we pastored and was with you folks. And so it was a joy to see all of the young people here today. And of course, there's some. And like today, I looked at that and I was looking at little Sarah, because that's what she was up there. Just looks like it when you was here and when I was here back in those years. Excuse me for telling how old you are, but it's been a wonderful trip. And they sing the old story never gets old, and this old story has never got old for this old man. I've been on the way a long time and enjoyed the Lord. And of course, since we were here, we leave here, and God sent us in a different direction, and we pastored again for a long time. And then about 5 years or so ago, we retired from pastoring. And we went on the road just doing evangelistic work and preaching at different churches for different preachers and singing for the Lord. And we had a great, great, wonderful year as we traveled the roads. And God allowed us to travel many, many miles with the McFarland family, and as well as my wife and me, and I preaching the gospel. And he has just blessed us. I can look back and I can look at these old men here. I can say that, Brother Chester, because we're getting old, and I realize that. Let me just give you a little example of this. Last week, I was at the Y, and I do walking at the Y to kind of keep my health up since that I'm retired, you know, that you need to kind of keep an exercise. Went up there, and boy, I was walking around that big track as hard as I can go, you know. And here come a little lady by me, just like a jet airplane, and I said to her, I says, "Honey, I just can't walk that fast at 73 years old." She said, "Why, honey, I'm 76. Ooh, right on by me. She went, "We're getting old." But that's all right. We're getting closer home.
Yeah.
And with all that being said and done, we thank Brother Victor for calling us. We thank God for the many, many years we had together here and all of the places that God has blessed us. And Carolyn and I are still on the road for the Lord, and that old story never, never gets old. We appreciate the church here and appreciate the Riverside Baptist Church and all you folks that we've loved through the years and had such a time with. We've been looking at some old pictures and things that we've had in the last little bit, and I don't know if it's because we're getting older and we're just trying to reminisce over things. And the last few weeks, I've been looking at a lot of pictures and things that from this church right here. And so we appreciate all those good times. But today, we're not here to talk about Art McFarland. We're not here to talk about Brother Victor being sick. We want God to heal him. We want him to be well. We do desire your prayers. We'll start off with this. We do desire your prayers. I could not commit for tonight because of Carolyn's sister that's in the hospital, and they're not sure that she's going to make it, but that's beside the point. That's all in the hands of God. But we did appreciate Brother Victor having us here today. Revelation, the second chapter. If you want to go with us, I'm going to go to a scripture and a message I preached a couple of months ago, I guess it was, down at our home church. We have a wonderful church, a wonderful pastor down at New Haven Missionary Baptist Church, where the Reverend Mike Raines is a pastor. We got one of far as I'm concerned, just as great a pastor as you could ever have down there in a wonderful church. But we do appreciate them understanding that we do a lot of traveling and are away a lot of time. But we preached this there just a while back for him in Revelations, the second chapter, and I'm going to go there today. Second chapter, 16th verse, if you will read along with us and want to read along with us. It is a very beautiful chapter. Second chapter, 16th verse. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this glorious opportunity of standing behind this pulpit where I stood many times during the past years. I thank you for this church that has stood firm on the word. And I thank you for the word that you have given us that we can stand to preach your holy gospel. I pray, God, that you'll use us as a mouthpiece for you, that it might touch hearts and touch lives, so that we each and every one might be attentive to it and be able to leave here a little better than we were when we came. In our Lord and Savior's name we ask, amen and amen. Now, I want to take this scripture for just a moment, and I want to maybe pull a few little nuggets out that God gave me a few weeks ago when I preached this message. I find in my reading and studying, I have always found that the Lord uses many, many times a natural description to reach and show us a spiritual aspect of it. Many, many times he does that. He uses sheep, he uses trees, he uses goats, he uses all sorts of things. And so I wanted to maybe understand the stone just a little bit better, and the name and the stone. And so I begin to look at some history of those days because of the fact he does use those natural things. And I found a few very important things that interested me. Now, whether it has a thing to do with these stones or not, and why he was using the stone at this point, I do not know. But I can surely say that they were a blessing to me. And so when we look at this, customs that they had of those days were very important in a lot of the scriptures. And first of all, when he said he would give us a stone with a name written in it, wherein that no man knows except he that received it. That was very easy for me to understand. That's salvation. See, salvation, I will assure you that you may pull the wool, as the saying is, over my eyes. You may pull the wool over your pastor's eyes or someone else's eyes, but there is one person that knows for a surety whether you're saved by the grace of God or not. And that's you. If you've got it, you know it. If you've got that new name, I may not know it. And you may go to your grave and I may never know it. But you and God knows the fact of whether you're saved by the grace of God, whether that name has been written in your stone or not. But salvation, it's not me. It's not your pastor. It's not your mommy. It's not your daddy. It's not your sister or your brother. It's you that knows whether this is a personal relationship that you have with God or not. And that word right there will stand true when the world's on fire. And my friend, if you've not got Jesus in your life, you have not got salvation. Amen. So as I look at that now, back then, let me give you a couple of little things that these stones were used for. First of all, black and white stones were used when you went to the courts of law in those days. I read and found that out, and I did not know that. But they would use stones when the jury would sit out and there would be a trial on your case. And you'd sit there before the judge. And you'd sit there before the jury. Everything was said and done. Well, then all of a sudden, those juries had been given a black stone and they'd been given a white stone. And if they rolled out that old black stone, it meant guilty, and you were punished for it. But if they rolled out a white stone and laid out in front of them, it meant you had received mercy and everything was going to be all right. And if that don't fit old Art MacFarlane's case, I'm going to tell you, there was a day that I stood before the judge. There was a day that I stood guilty. I was just as guilty as could be. But when I stood before the judge, of course the sentence would have needed to be, a black stone. I was just like old Barabbas when he was down there in the jailhouse, brother, and he had been convicted of every crime, brother, in the book, just about it. But all of a sudden, here's old Art MacFarlane. I had me a lawyer that came to plead my case. And that lawyer was Jesus Christ, a brother, and he stood before the almighty judge and the jury, and he said, I'll take Art MacFarlane's place. If necessary, I'll die for him. And then not only did he say, if necessary, but he did die for me. Brother, and when he made that plea in that case before the almighty court of God and heaven today, I want you to know, all of a sudden the jury came out, and listen, instead of rolling an old black stone out and laying it down, they rolled me a white stone out and said, let him go, he's free, because somebody took his place today. Do you understand why I can say that white stone, listen, with a name written in it? That stone was a white stone of mercy. That stone was a white stone that said he can go free. Oh, listen to me. And just like old Barabbas when he was sitting there worried to death, and there's no doubt I can see him in his mind laying there in that old cell, said, oh my, I'm going to die today. I've been judged and I'm going to die. And they walked down by that old jail cell and they unlocked it and rolled him out of white stone and said, there was somebody that took your place and they died for you today. Oh, can you see it? Now, there's another thing, second thing I want to talk about, that stone and tradition and things that went on in those days. They were given to a man that was freed from slavery. See, if he was a slave, and in those days there was great slavery going on. And when they would come to that man and they would give him his freedom, brother, they would give him a white stone, and it would have a name, a emblem in it, and it didn't matter where he was at, he could roll out that white stone, and he was made a citizen. He was not an immigrant. He was not on probation. He was not on parole, but he was made a full-fledged citizen. I'm going to tell you, when I got my stone of mercy, I also got me one that freed me from my sins, freed me from my captivity of a slave to sin, and made me a citizen of the kingdom of heaven today. Oh, can you hear and see how important these stones might really be? He made me a citizen. He gave me a white stone, and he said, you're no longer, a slave. You're no longer a nobody. You're no longer an outcast. You can walk in freedom because I have set you free. And if he sets us free, we're free indeed. And all I have to do is show my white stone and say, I have been set free. Oh, I love to preach today. Can you see it? So I once was a slave. I once was a nobody. But I'm going to tell you today, I'm a somebody. I'm a somebody because of that right there. Because of the white stone was given me. But that's not all. Because I've received my stone, white stone of mercy, because I've received my white stone of citizenship. Then in those days, a white stone was used as a token or a ticket for a banquet. In other words, if you were going to go to the king's banquet in those days, they would give you a little white stone and it would be marked with an emblem. And when you walked up to the door, brother, all you had to do was show that little stone with that little name in it. And brother, you were allowed to walk into the banquet table. I'm going to tell you, when I was made a citizen, I wasn't left out of anything. Brother, what the king's got, it belongs to me. I'm able to walk up to the king's door. I'm able to walk up to the king's door. And I'm able to listen to my friend, I just show him my little stone, and I'm able to walk right in the door, and I'm able to sit down at the table of grace and eat from the banquet table today. Woo! I love it. Can you see the stone now? I got me a white stone of mercy, forgiveness. I got me a white stone of citizenship. Oh, and then I got me a white stone with a little name on it that allows me to walk in and sit down at the banquet table today. Oh, but now, watch out. I'm going to give you about two more of them that I found. White stones in those days were used as medallions. In the Olympics of those days, they would have those white stones. Those are what they ran the races for. See, in our day today, they got the gold and the bronze medals and everything in the Olympics. In those days, they had white stones and other color. But brother, what was you really trying to run for? Today they run for the gold. I'm not running for the gold. I'm running for the white. I want that white stone. A brother that says, I finished the course. How did Paul read it? He said, I've fought the fight. I've kept the faith. I've ran my course. A brother, and I've ran this race with patience. And my race is just about done. I'm about ready now to go and receive my reward. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters here today, this old head's getting a little less hair on her. And brother, my eyes get worse. And my ears get worse. But I'm going to tell you what. I've ran this race. And I'm going to run to the finish. If I have to crawl across the line, it'll be all right. I'll still get to my goal. And I'll receive my white reward, my white stone. Brother, the Golden Olympics. I don't have nothing. Brother, I'm running for the white today. Woo. I'm running for white. Where's an old man out to preach like this? But I'm going to do it till the day I die. Or I'm going to die trying. I love it today. So they run the race. But until then, I'm going to tell you something. This old race may be close to ending. I don't know. But it may be closer to you for you than it is me. You may be very young, but that don't mean nothing in the eyes of God. Run your race and run it for the white medal. Run it for the gold today. Run it to the best of your ability. Don't give up. That's just blessed my heart when 30 years later, I walk into this church after pastoring here and I see this old church still running the race for the Lord. When I see them young people up here singing, and singing the old story, still not old. When I look over there and I see those little kids just singing their hearts out for the Lord, boy, it just blessed my heart. We're running this race together, but let's run it for one thing, and that's the goal. Let's run it for the Lord today. Let me finish up with you. So they run it for the Olympics. They're running it for the end. But until that end comes, let me tell you something. I've got my reward. I've got my little stone that showed mercy. I've got my little stone that showed I'm a citizen. I've got my stone that said I can walk into the banquet table. I've got my white stone that says that I'm running this race. But until then, there was another thing they run. They used these little white stones for in those days. And I love this one. See, they said that they would use those white stones And they would carry them around as a charm. Maybe hang it on their neck as a charm or carry it in a pocket. You ever hear of rabbit foots? You carry a rabbit foot for good luck. They would do that. But what they would do, they'd take them little white stones and they'd engrave into it the name of a god or a goddess of their day that they felt protected them and took care of them. I'm running my race and I'm almost ready to receive my white stone. But until that day, let me tell you what, I've got my little white stone charm and it's not got a goddess's name in it. And it's not got a God, GOD in it. It's got the great God of heaven and the Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. His name is engraved in it. And I like the way David said it. I've got my, it's not a lucky charm. It's a guaranteed charm. It's a white stone that promises me a protection. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're there today. Woo. Aren't you glad of a stone like that? Praise his sweet and holy name. And until the day I get ready to leave out of this old world, I've got my charm. I got my white stone. But you want to know something else? When I get ready to walk out of this life into life eternal, I still got my charm. I still got my little white stone and it's got a name in it. And that name is Jesus. That name is Jesus. May God of heaven bless you. I've done my very best to fill in for your pastor until he gets better and able to be back with you. But if I never see you again on this side of glory, oh, young people, keep on singing. Preachers, keep on preaching. Old people, keep on praying. Keep on singing, playing music. Whatever God lets you do, do it well for the Lord. So that when the end comes, you can be like Paul said, I've run my race now. I'm just going to walk up there and I'm going to walk up proud. I don't want to walk up there, have to bow my head and say, oh Lord, I'm going to walk up proud and say, Lord, I've done my best to fight the fight. I've run this race. I've done everything I could, Lord, to serve you. And now I'm ready. I'm ready to get my reward. I'm ready to reach out and get my stone. But until then, Lord, be my charm. Be my bracelet. Be my necklace. Be everything of my protection today. May God of heaven bless you. I'm going to ask you to sing a song. That's enough preaching for today. If you're here and you have not got this white stone that I have been talking about, if you, first of all, you'll never get the other four stones until you get the first stone. You have to have the first stone to get the other four that I've been talking about. If you never stand before the judge and have a white stone of mercy rolled out in your case, what is that all about, preacher? That's accepting Jesus in your heart. In your life. Accepting salvation, Jesus, whatever, how you want to phrase it. If you have not accepted Jesus in your heart and your life, you'll never receive any of the other stones. Because what will happen, you'll walk up to the judgment on judgment day, and that old black stone's still going to be laying there. And it's going to say, guilty. Guilty, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You may say, oh, preacher, I don't think God would send me down to a place called hell. He won't. He won't. But he'll allow you to have that choice. He gave his son. His son gave his life. And his son is offering you a white stone. But if you don't accept it, you'll die and go to hell. Stand to our feet. Let's say, I want to give an invitation to the lost today, first of all. I've got my white stone. I've got that name written in it, and that's Jesus. It's a stone of mercy. It's a stone of forgiveness. It's a stone of citizenship. It's a stone of being able to walk up to the Lord and talk to Him any time I want to. And it's mom and dad when I finish the race. And if you've not got that, please, I ask you to come right now. Get saved right there in your seat. Run to this altar, but do it right now. Don't waste another minute of your time. Don't waste another moment of God's time. But listen to me, because the next moment you may be in judgment. Will you come? Come. Right now, I beg you. Come on right now. Just as you are. While they're praying, maybe you would like to come to Him. Come on. Just as you are. Waiting not. I come. I do. Rid me, Lord. Cleanse me. Make me a citizen. Make me what I need to be, Lord. O Lamb of God, I come. Our Lord and our God, we have done everything that you bid us to do today. We have preached the message that you gave to us as we sat there in the office, wondering, God, what we could say for the congregation today. And I hope that it has been sufficient. But in all of my weaknesses and all my failures, God, I know your power. And you can take my weakness and I can find strength in it because of you. So use this message, Lord, to benefit these people that are here today, that may be hearing over the radios and over the airway. Lord, let it bless to touch their hearts and lives that they might be saved. I'll give you praise and I'll give you glory for what you've done here today and what you're going to do in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Heaven bless you. Sister Mary, please tell Brother Victor thank you again for me, for having me come to stand in this morning, and tell him get well fast because the church needs him. And thank you, church, for supporting the Word of God and allowing me to stand this morning. We love you with all of our heart. Hope it won't be long we'll meet again here. But if we never meet again here, come on over to heaven. That's where I'll be. And that's sure where I hope you'll be. And until then, don't you ever forget, you walk with God, and God will walk with you. Brother James. Lord, ever who's going to take care of you?
Thank you, Lord.
Come on.
We certainly want to thank